Welcome to part two in our discussion today on The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren. Letty is giving us a book review and synthesis of this wonderful story, wonderful message contained in this book. And I certainly want to encourage our listeners to obtain a copy and examine it for yourself. We're going to talk during this segment, beginning with day 25, on being transformed by trouble. Now, I don't know about you, but I have often thought that the essence of life was to avoid trouble. But no matter where I go, it seems to find me. There are always troubles. Their problems never end. As the book of Job says, man's days are short and full of trouble. Yes. So, Letty, what can you tell us about being transformed by trouble?
I'd like to start off by reading 1 Peter 4:12. My friends, do not be surprised at the terrible trouble which now comes to test you. Do not think that something strange is happening to you. Larry, I think that many Christians think that because they are following God, that their lives should be easier. They shouldn't have problems. But faith never eliminates problems. Faith keeps us trusting in God through our problems. Because what is life other than a series of problems?
Right.
As soon as we solve one, there's another one waiting to be solved. And God uses problems to develop our character. Why? Because problems draw us closer to Him. Larry, when times are good and everything's great and the job's going well and nothing's broken in the house, woohoo, who needs God? But as soon as something happens, oh Lord, please help me. And we don't want, that's what we're wanting to get away from. The purpose-driven life is about learning to have joy in our hearts, whether we have trouble in our lives or whether we have a season of calmness in between trouble, regardless of what's going on, but not to look at trouble as, well, God doesn't love me, or He's not looking out for me, or getting in a self-pity mode. It's understanding that trouble is actually going to teach us to depend on God, which takes our focus away from us. So it's a good thing. Truly. I know some of our listeners may say, okay, you know, I hate trouble. But Larry, it is during suffering.
Well, this is a biblical principle found in the first chapter of James, where James says, when you find yourself not being able to go forward or to go backward or to go to the left or to the right, count it all joy.
Yes. Yes. Praise God in all things.
That's right.
And during suffering, we learn to pray our most authentic, heartfelt, honest to God prayers.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. Problems force us to look to God instead of looking at ourselves, because you'll never know that God is all you have until you're there.
Well, that's what the Great Tribulation, that's another aspect of it, and its purpose, by God imposing a tribulation upon the earth. This trouble will cause those who have a submissive heart to put their faith in God. Those who have a rebellious heart will put their faith in their works.
That's right. That's right, Larry. One of the important things for us to remember through trouble is that our circumstances are temporary. They are temporary. This world is temporary. If we are saddled with anything that we seem to think is going to overwhelm us, we have to remember, first of all, this world is not our home. This is a temporary place, and these problems are temporary. And our character and what God is trying to build through this trouble is what's going to last forever.
Yes.
He is transforming us through trouble. Since God intends us to make us like Jesus, we're going to share in the experiences that Jesus had to experience and to be tested just like He was. The Bible says He was tested in all ways. So if we're dealing with loneliness or temptation or stress or rejection or humiliation from others, it's temporary. You know, we have to be willing to depend on God and let Him take us through the problems.
Now, Letty, let's say you have a work situation that's been developing and going on for the last couple of years. And there have some things are really distressing there. Some things are really pressing in on your happiness and your joy because, you know, you spend a third of your life at work.
Yes.
8 hours a day.
Yes.
8 out of 24.
That's right.
And you've got a hopeless situation in the personality issues and the carnal issues and the workplace. How would a trouble like that be transforming?
Well, God transforms us through relationships with people. And if I am learning to love, my attitude toward these people that irritate me are going to change. And I'm going to attempt, first of all, we talked about heaping coals of fire on people's heads. By loving, others will also be changed. And so we have to be willing to give that a try and to be willing to implement the things that we are learning.
Coals of fire, step one.
That's right. Coals of fire has to be our intent. Number two, Larry, everyone is dealing with some kind of issues in their life. And sometimes people act hostile mm-hmm. because of what's going on in their home mm-hmm. or their circumstances. Mm-hmm. When we talked about learning to listen mm-hmm. and to so that we can become aware of somebody mm-hmm. else's problems so that we can help.
Okay.
That has happened in my life. You know, running a school, I not only deal with staff, mm-hmm. but also with lots of parents.
Mm-hmm.
And God has, I can't tell you the times that God has changed my attitude about people mm-hmm. because I have been willing to listen. Well, simply to listen.
Well, you know, you have a school with 100 little problems that, you know, running around.
Yes.
I'm not being flippant about children, but children
sure.
are unique in each of their problems that they present to the corporate body.
That's right.
And learning to listen to the child and learning to deal with what is causing their unhappiness.
That's right.
That's a very good point. Looking corporately, not taking the hostility personal, but looking at their life, at your enemy's life, and saying, what is it that's hurting that person?
Yes. Yes, because Larry, if I'm dealing with a parent or a staff member that is on the verge of divorce, and they are having hostile or putting out hostile vibes and a lack of cooperation,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to know that if I'm not willing to say, mm-hmm. you know what,
mm-hmm.
you seem troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to learn how to take things personally. I have to learn not to take things personally.
Well, see, now that is what love really does. The carnal nature takes everything personal because it's me first, me most, me best.
Yes.
When the heart is filled with love, it's not personal at all.
That's
it
right.
doesn't take it as a personal affront.
Yes.
It looks at it as, I'm here to love.
Yes.
I'm not here to expect anything back. And so what can I give? What can I do that will improve the situation?
Yes. And instead of being critical and saying words that tear down,
mm-hmm.
we learn to listen. We learn to look at how we can be a blessing to others and how we can share God's love with others. And Larry, the whole experience changes. It has changed me. It has changed the way that I look at people. It has changed my critical attitude because I've learned not to take it personally. I've learned to see people as like I see myself. I'm a human being struggling mm-hmm. with issues in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I snap at people mm-hmm. because of the way that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to understand that they're snapping because of the way that they feel.
Right.
And what do I want to do? Just sit there and criticize them? Or do I want to be a blessing to them? Do I want to pull them into God's love?
Right.
And so
right.
These are the things. It's we talked about the change in attitude and the way that we look.
There's no greater power for transforming ourselves and others than love.
That's right.
No greater power.
That's right. And so problems in our life, God is going to use those problems to change us, to transform us, to that we can depend on Him and that we can learn to be true vessels of His love. But Larry, problems don't automatically produce what God intends. The problems that you just stated, if I am not willing to allow God's Spirit to use me, and if I'm not willing to have a different attitude change, I can have problems all day long, and I will become bitter and resentful and more self-centered. I won't learn anything. It's not an automatic. That is why it is so important to apply the principles that we're learning, so that trouble is a good thing in our life. You know, the struggling is a good thing. The learning, the thinking, the doing, the listening becomes important, because people can give up. You know, you try one or two days and it's just not going to work. So forget it. I have to stay focused on the end result. I have to stay focused. These are all children of God. God loves them like He loves me. If I can be used to bring somebody to Christ, what greater privilege is there? I have to stay focused on the end result. God is trying to take us all to heaven. Some will be willing to go because they will be willing to submit. Others will rebel and not be willing to go. Really, it comes down to that. God would like to take all of us, but we are not all willing. And so we have to be willing.
Now, I'm willing to escape hell.
Yes. You know, that's one of the first things I said. Christians want to be saved.
Yes.
But they don't want to be changed. Oh. We're talking about change here.
So you're telling me that in order to go to heaven, I have to be changed.
You bet.
Oh, Letty.
Yes. And I'm telling you that that change is going to give you joy, Larry. Get with the program. I want you to have a heart full of joy. This statement has really made me stop to think. So I hope that our listeners will file this away, that when we come to a situation in our life, which I call it a Job problem, a Job situation, we don't say, "Why me, Lord?" We say, "Why not me? Why wouldn't Jesus use me to show love to somebody else?" See, Larry, God trusted Job.
Yes.
And He knew that He could teach others through him.
Yes.
Aren't we to be the same way?
Three doctors, to be exact.
Yeah. Yes.
His three friends were all physicians, you remember?
Sure. So it's not why.
And his wife.
And his wife. That's right. So not why me, mm-hmm. why not me?
Mm-hmm.
If I wear the banner that says I am a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and if I am applying these principles to my life and I want to be used of God and I want God to pour His love to other people through me,
mm-hmm.
then why not me?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't God use me in a difficult situation?
What better person to use than a Christian?
Exactly, exactly. So it's not why me, it's why not me. Thank you, Lord, for being willing to use me.
That's very beautiful.
Now, the other part of trouble that we need to look at is temptation. Because many people think that temptation is a bad thing. And one of the really neat things about the Purpose Driven Life book is the statement that says, temptation provides a choice. How can you say you're faithful if you never had an opportunity to be unfaithful?
Right. Right.
So James 1:12 says, when people are tempted and still continue strong, they should be happy. After they have proved their faith, God will reward them with life forever. God promises this to all those who love Him. Wow. So being tempted, Larry, is not a bad thing.
You know, temptation operates on two levels. The devil understands our humanity. He knows our desires and our appetites for things, for love, for food, for whatever. You know, he has carefully studied us, and he's given all this wisdom to advertising agencies.
Right, yes.
Because their whole purpose, advertising, its whole study, its whole purpose for existing, is to lure us, to attract us into whatever the merchant, you know, it wants to sell. On the other hand, temptation has another dimension, and that is to see if we really are committed.
That's right.
You know,
that's
now right. God doesn't tempt us. He doesn't put evil in front of us to tempt us.
That's right.
That's what James says.
Yes.
God doesn't tempt us with evil.
Right.
But temptation tells us, it's a barometer. That telling us of what our connection with God is or is not.
Yes.
It's like the quiz the teacher gives in the classroom, telling us what we know and don't know. Temptation serves as a way of measuring where we are and our weakness and our strength in God's, in our relationship with God.
Yes.
So, you know, on the first level, temptation serves to pull us into things that are harmful. But on the other level, you can see it as a barometer telling us of our connection or disconnection with God.
Well, you know, we talked yesterday about how sin came into the world. And because we live in a sinful world, there are temptations to do bad
yes.
things. Sin has brought that upon
yes.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that we have to fight against. Even baby Christians know right from wrong.
Yes.
If you're just starting in your walk with the Lord, God has given us the ability to know right from wrong.
Yes.
And temptation is an opportunity to do the right thing. So, because temptation provides choices, we have choices to make every day. And God is wanting to develop in us Christ's character, which are the fruits of the Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit produce these fruits in our life? Well, by allowing us to experience certain circumstances.
Trouble.
Yes. God allows us to experience these. And we are, Larry, many times we are tempted with the opposite quality that we need.
Mm-hmm.
If we need patience, mm-hmm. we will be tempted with the opportunity to be impatient.
Yes.
And we can't say we're patient if we've never had the opportunity to be impatient.
Right.
So it is a growth process.
Right.
God uses the opposite situation of every fruit to allow us a choice.
Yes.
And we're back to that word again,
choice.
Yes.
That's right.
So every time, Larry, that I defeat a temptation, I'm becoming more like Jesus,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're talking about today.
Well, that's what he did.
Yes.
You know, he overcame. He was tempted in all points,
yes.
as we are, yet without sin.
That's right.
And how wonderful it would be. You see, you can't sin without receiving the consequences that go with it.
That's right.
It's impossible. It would be like separating wetness from water. It's impossible. Every time we sin, either knowingly, even unknowingly, the consequence of that wrong attends that wrong.
That's right.
You cannot defeat the power of sin.
That's right. That's right, Larry.
And that's why avoiding sin, overcoming sin, is God's will.
Yes.
Because sin is destructive. Sin hurts. Sin hurts not only the sinner, but the innocent around. What does sexual abuse do to children?
Mm.
And what are the results?
Yes.
A lifetime of misery.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's talk about a four-step process and
okay.
how we can overcome temptation.
I'm ready.
All right. Step one is to understand that Satan identifies a desire inside of us.
Yes, he studies us.
Yes, he knows us well. We think that temptation lies around us, but God says that it begins within us. For from within, Mark 7 says, for from within, out of men's hearts,
yes.
comes evil thoughts.
That's right.
Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly.
It all starts inside.
Inside. So temptation always starts in the mind, not our circumstances.
That's right.
We have understanding that is step one, that it's not about, oh, well, so-and-so put this in front of me, and that's why I did it. No, it starts inside our heart. Number two is doubt. Satan tries to get you to doubt what God said about the sin.
Oh, yes.
Is it
I like
really
that one.
Wrong?
You know,
is it really wrong?
No.
Did God really say not to do it?
Is it sin? I don't think so.
Right. So that plays a part in
That's
temptation.
Good. That's good.
Number three is deception. Satan is capable of telling the truth. Incapable of telling the truth because he's called the father of lies. He deceived Eve with half-truths. You will not die. You will be wiser than God. You can get away with it. No one will ever know. Satan is not capable of telling the truth. And so he deceives us.
Thinking you're going to get away with it.
Yes.
You can pull this off. No one will know.
No one will know.
And you'll be the better for it.
Yes. So Satan identifies something within us.
Yes.
That he knows is brewing there.
Mm-hmm.
And he causes us to think, mm-hmm. is it really wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And then he deceives us into thinking,
mm-hmm.
it's really not wrong.
We can get away with it.
And then the fourth thing is that we disobey.
I'm there.
Yeah. That is how temptation works in our lives.
Yes.
And
beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, so if we toy with a thought too long, Larry, we're going to give into it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked about getting rid of old ways and mm-hmm. old habits and learning to change the channel,
yes.
do something else, we have to apply that to being tempted to do wrong. So,
you know, that's such a key point, Letty. If you, like Eve, if you stand there pondering.
Yes.
If you stand there deliberating, if you stand there equivocating, you're going to give in.
Yes.
The carnal nature will beat you up.
You bet.
You know, it wins its own game. And rushing to prayer.
Yes.
Has got to be the first, when hit with temptation, oh, I got to pray right now.
Yes.
I got to stop everything.
Yes.
I've got to get this out of my mind and away from my heart. And rushing to prayer for the victory over this is job one.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, we know now that temptation follows a four-step process, and we need to be very aware of those four steps.
But would you just highlight them
yes,
real quick?
Yes, certainly. Satan identifies a desire within me.
Okay.
And then he causes me to doubt that it's really sin.
That's right.
Then he deceives me into believing that it's okay.
I get away with it.
And then I think about it long enough.
I dwell on it.
And he drags me into it.
And I'm entrapped.
And James 1:14-15 says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire is dragged away and enticed. So
we
give in.
Yeah.
So how do we overcome temptation? Let's talk about three things that can help us. And of course, you've talked about praying immediately, and that is certainly a huge key. Number one is refuse to be intimidated. Temptation is a sign that Satan hates you, not a sign of weakness. The closer that you grow to God, the more Satan wants to pull you away from him and tempt you. We will never outgrow it as long as we have a carnal nature, Larry. It's not about ever just shedding temptation and we're just never going to ever be tempted again. We have to know that temptations are going to be part of our journey with the Lord because the devil's right there. We have our carnal nature and then we have the devil that knows how to work it.
He's going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
That's right. So we're not to become discouraged. It's not a sin to be tempted.
Right.
We can't keep the devil from suggesting thoughts, but we can choose not to dwell on them, and we can certainly choose not to act on them. So first of all, we're going to refuse to be intimidated. We're not going to think, oh, I'm tempted, I'm bad, I'm sinning, that I'm even thinking this.
No.
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 I know that Satan is trying to cause me to
right.
fall
right.
and to be unfaithful. Then I need to recognize my own pattern of temptation and be prepared for it. See, the honesty with God means that I know my weaknesses
mm-hmm.
and that I understand that there are certain situations that are going to make me more vulnerable than others.
Yes, that's true. Very, very true.
Satan knows them. Mm-hmm. I need to certainly be able to call them by name too.
Satan knows me.
Yes.
Very well. He yes. studied me because yes. he wants to destroy me.
Yes.
And he knows where my weaknesses are, and he knows how to get to me.
Yes. So I need to recognize my pattern of temptation. I mean, we all know mm-hmm. certain things that are our weaknesses that mm-hmm. make us fall. We have to identify them, mm-hmm. and we have to be prepared to avoid the situations mm-hmm. as much as possible, because sometimes wise planning
yes.
helps us to avoid temptation.
Yes.
Not always, but
right.
if we can be on the offensive mm-hmm. instead of on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what you've already talked about, we have to request God's help. You know, we cannot overcome on our own. The devil is far too great a match. We are no match for him, Larry. No match at all.
One thing that through the years I have tried to practice in my life has been the prayer of anticipation. I'm not tempted right now, but I know it's coming.
Yes.
I know a temptation on this particular matter is coming,
yes.
Lord, and I'm praying right now that you'll give me the strength to run from this and to avoid this and to be delivered from this so that I no longer have a response to this.
Yes. And we can use the example that you talked about in the workplace, you know, that you live in a workplace where there's lots of discontented people and bad attitudes and what have you, knowing that there's something brewing, Lord, today.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to keep my big mouth shut
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to be controlling the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me, Lord, to be to love and to be a listener and to be a builder,
yes.
not one that tears down. So we can, to know that that's a weakness and
yes.
that makes me frustrated and
yes.
mad to be around
yes.
people like that,
yes.
to be ready for it. I know my pattern of temptation. I recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be intimidated
mm-hmm.
if I have, you know, mm-hmm. if I'm put in that situation. I'm going to ask God for help, because the Bible guarantees that God hears us when we cry for help.
Amen. Amen.
So he has the power.
And you know, being delivered out of trouble, mm. Letty, is one of the most powerful testimonies of a living God.
You bet, Larry.
That was, incredible. You know, corporately speaking, that was Israel being delivered out of the Red Sea.
Yes.
They were between
yes.
Pharaoh and the Red Sea.
Yes.
And how the Lord made a way out.
Yes.
And he will do the same thing in our troubles. He will part the sea for us if necessary.
That's right. That's exactly right, Larry. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence.
Yes.
God is ready to give us the power to deliver us from
yes.
temptation, so that we may receive mercy and find the grace to help us in our time of need.
Amen.
And what a promise that is. Let's talk about 4 steps. Let's get it down to practical things. That's one of the things I love about this book. It gives us practical things. We have learned how temptation starts and how we overcome, but let's talk about the particulars
okay.
of facing and how we overcome. Number one, Larry, is called the principle of replacement. We've talked about that already. Change the channel. Refocus your attention on something else. We have to learn to refocus, because every time we try to block something out of our mind, it's driving it deeper into our memory. The more that we try to just, you know, think mm-hmm. about it and try to push it, many times by resisting it, we're actually reinforcing it. So we need it actually, because temptation begins with a thought. Change the thought. Change our thought process. So number one, that would be a key channel for those that are dealing with addictions.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Change the channel.
Well, now, addictions, by definition, mean that you can't, of your own power, change the channel, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
that's what we use as a definition for an addiction. I'm
yes.
out of control.
Yes.
I have no control over
yes.
myself. This addiction has control of me.
That's right.
So how, you know, would an addict look at this first step in he can pray for the strength. He can ask for the deliverance. But unless a miracle happens,
yes,
he can't.
And Larry, one of the important things that I've learned for people in that situation with the changing the channel, that is why there are support groups and people that you can get an immediate contact with to
fellowship.
Yes. to just
fellowship.
Yeah, it's more than just a mind thing. It's a physical.
Yes.
Physically removing and getting that help, you know.
Yes.
From someone.
Very good point.
So the battle with sin is won or lost in our mind, and we have to begin, since temptation begins by capturing my attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Letty, let me make one more point.
Okay.
I know I'm interrupting
okay.
you.
That's okay.
But the, you know, John says there's a sin that is not unto death.
Yes.
And I remember a young person coming up to me and saying, "What is that? I want to do it."
One easy step.
Well, the sin that John is talking about that is not unto death is the accidental sin.
Yes.
You know, the temptation, the sin, the commission of sin, the whole thing happens before you even realize it hit you.
That's right.
I've had those happen.
Yes.
God says, and Paul says in Romans 7, that's the law of sin operating in your body.
Yes.
It's just there, and the things you would do, you don't, and the things you wouldn't do, you do.
That's right.
Now, we're not talking here about accidental sin.
Right.
We're talking here about premeditated.
Yes.
And dallying with temptation.
That's right, Larry.
And so changing the channel is step one.
It's we have to be willing, because otherwise we know that if we stay there and entertain it, we know what's going to happen.
Right.
We're going to be enticed
right.
and be dragged away by sin.
Right.
So we have to make a choice. Oh, I'm being tempted. I'm being led to do this. I don't want to go there. And we have to be willing to do what it takes to change the channel. You know, it's a choice that we have to learn to make.
You know, I've got to explain something that might help our male listeners. Now, I know females don't have the same kinds of problems that males do, but maybe the principle here will be helpful. Years ago, I used to live in Dallas, and I had to drive past this large sign of a naked woman going to work every day. Mexicana Airlines had a billboard that was about 90 feet wide, right by the freeway. And there was a totally naked woman on this billboard, except for a couple of roses.
Oh, dear.
She was something else. And I'm telling you, I'm sure several car wrecks must have happened. You know, this was back in the 70s, and I remember driving past that the first time, and whoa, man, you know, I was blown away. But every day, Letty, I had to drive past this naked woman. And I didn't want to be enticed and pulled involuntarily into dwelling on this naked woman. And so I would try by averting my eyes, watching the traffic, you know, looking around, looking in my mirror, you know, anything to keep from seeing this 90-foot naked woman. And I didn't do too well at averting my eyes. I mean, how do you ignore the such a sight? And so the Lord taught me a lesson in this. I began to pray. And my prayer of anticipation, Lord, tomorrow I've got to drive by that naked woman. Lord, take the desire from me, because I can't of myself. Take the, desensitize me, you know, so that my magnetism, my carnal self is not attracted. Take that, because the temptation is more than I can choose by just willpower. I cannot overcome this through my willpower.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
Men have more of a problem with naked women than women have with naked women. But what I'm trying to say is that my prayer, Lord, I know I have this problem, and unless you remove the attraction, within me, unless you desensitize my attraction, I can't win. And so, the Lord did. The Lord, Letty, took that out of my mind and heart, and it was no longer
an attraction.
It wasn't a struggle to go through that section of the road. I had been set free. And you know, I was talking with a good friend of ours just the other day, and he was telling me that he had been set free of his affection for cars.
Yes.
He had been set free of, and he was so happy because his whole life had been just wrapped up in that. And he had said, you know, Larry, I was actually delivered out of that attraction.
Isn't that amazing?
What I'm trying to say is that in temptation, when the devil knows where we really are, and he studies us carefully, and we begin to know where we are, I don't have the will to overcome a power. I don't have the willpower to overcome certain things in my life. So I begin, I'm helpless.
Yes.
And I run to Jesus and I say, Lord, if you don't do it, it won't be done. If you don't make the transformation within me, I'm willing. I want it gone. I see that I am helpless against this. If you don't do it, it can't be done. And Letty, the power of God will do this.
That's right, Larry.
He can do this if we're willing to be transformed.
Yeah. And that was the key for you. You were willing to be transformed. Mm-hmm. You wanted it to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't willing to make excuses, Larry, or to justify. You're wanting to be delivered.
That's
and God is a deliverer.
That's right.
He is so faithful.
That's how I know he's alive.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm forgiven.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, if we're serious about defeating temptation, and I think this is a very important point that Pastor Warren says, we must learn to manage our mind and monitor our media intake. Larry, we have to start refusing to allow trash to come into our mind.
I tell you, the 90-foot woman was just more than I could deal with.
Yeah, but that's the world in which we live.
Yes.
And if you don't have to get out much, you can get it on the television.
Everything is 90 feet big now.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it's just huge.
Yes.
Every temptation the devil has is just encompassing all humanity.
So you really ask God to reprogram the way that you think about it, the way that you saw it, the way that you think about it.
Yes.
And God is in the business of reprogramming. That's the changed
heart. In fact, I began to think about the lady who was posing there, wondering why, for money, or for what's the problem in her life? Why, here is someone's child.
Yes.
Why is she doing this?
Yes.
What has happened in her? You know, she has, for a few dollars, sold out herself, her virtue, and she goes on down the road of life, and Satan has used her prostitution of her virtue to ruin many men.
Yes.
One woman, many men.
Yes. Yes.
It's so sad to me.
Yeah.
When you begin to see the personal tragedy in what Satan is really all about.
And it's part of the process of elevating self.
Yeah.
And calling attention to self.
Yeah.
And it's the world in which we live. And so we have to, practicing the principle of replacement, changing the channel. And some things are easy, Larry. You know, some things are minor things, but there are many things in our life that are major things. And in all things, we have to be willing to ask God to give us the power to overcome.
Yes.
Because our carnal natures are so big that, and they want to be fed, it wants to be fed every day like a wolf, hungering for anything that we can give it. And we want to constantly feed it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to grow. We want to starve that wolf within us.
Yes.
And God is willing to show us how. And he's willing to give us the power over something that we truly have no control over.
That's right. When you come to temptation and are helpless, which is where I really found the transforming power of God in my life.
Yes.
And not only on that instance, I've had many since. I'm just saying that's where it started in my life.
Certainly. Certainly. Yeah, I can, you know, I can avoid chocolate cake all day long, but I may not be able to avoid gossiping about someone. You know, it's we have areas in our lives where we need to call upon God and to be honest with in knowing that these things are pulling us away from Him.
Yes.
And we talked about the support group, but that's number two for defeating temptation is reveal your struggle to a godly friend or support group.
Yes.
It's just a must, Larry. Mm-hmm. We must be willing to expose ourselves that way to somebody that we can trust, that we know is going to encourage us, to pray for us.
A spiritually mature person.
That's right.
Don't confess your problem to someone that is immature as you are.
Yes,
struggling with the same problem.
That's
Don't do that.
That's right.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Disaster. You're right. That's exactly right. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so, finding help. And Larry, God is faithful to lead us to that help. When He knows that we truly want to overcome, and like this, the example that you shared with us that is so powerful, God saw how desperate you were to defeat that. And God wants for us to be desperate for Him. Not to be desperate for what this world has to offer, but to be desperate for Him and His ways, to be transformed, to be desperate for the holiness that He wants for us to become.
You see, without holiness, we can't enter into God's presence.
That's right.
We can't even walk with God unless we are willing to take on His holiness.
That's right. That's right.
We've got to become separated from this carnal world and come into His world of love.
Yes.
This carnal world is all about selfishness and aggrandizement, self-promotion, self-exaltation, me first, me most, me best.
Yes, yes. And so we have to resist the devil. Number three is resist the devil. How do we do that? We accept God's salvation. You can't say no to the devil unless you've said yes to Jesus. It's the bottom line. If we say no to Jesus, we're saying yes to the devil.
Well, you can't be a Christian and not get into a fight with the devil.
That's right, Larry.
I mean, he's going to be on your case every day.
Yes.
Because this is... He intends to destroy everyone that God loves.
Yes.
And when people make an effort to become godly,
yes,
and He knows the power that will radiate and the lives that will influence, and He knows the effect of God's and joy of God's love, He goes to work immediately. We got to shut this down.
Yes.
Misery is His game.
Yes. And Larry, the study of the great understanding Revelation story and what's going to happen during the great tribulation, the devil's going to have complete control.
Yes.
Now is an opportunity for us to learn to defeat temptation, to learn to stand firmly in the Lord, to say no to the devil, to use God's word. We have to use God's word. It's our weapon.
Yes.
And to be able to be filled with God's Spirit and the power that the Spirit can give us. And I know we're running out of time. Number four is realizing our vulnerability. We cannot let our guard down. We cannot think that we're beyond temptation. It's a foolish thing to think. We cannot think that we cannot be brought down by the devil. He's relentless, Larry. He's not going to let go. Given the right circumstances, any of us are capable of sin.
He plays chess. He's always three moves ahead of us.
Yes.
Waiting in the bushes to jump on us.
That's right. That's right. So may we each be willing to take every opportunity that God is giving us to learn to love, because that love and the being filled with love is going to be the key in overcoming temptation, of thinking of ourselves less and others more. And may we each be willing to give ourselves fully over to God so that He can empower us to become more like Jesus every day.
Amen. Well, thank you, Laddie. This has been a wonderful study and a review of this book by Pastor Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And, you know, the joy that comes through victory, the happiness that comes through defeating
That's a true thrill of the soul, Larry.
It really is. It's a joy that passes understanding.
Yes.
And that's what God wants us to experience.
Yes.
Well, we'll continue our study on the purpose-driven life in our next segment.
Yes.
May God bless our listeners is our prayer.